We want to underscore again that we're coming to Chicago peacefully, but whether we're given permits or not, we're coming.
We're going to Chicago to protest the Vietnam War.
And there's no place to be right now but in it.
We watched for a decade while these rebels without a job tell us how to prosecute a war. But they're going to spend their 30s in a federal facility, real time.
People say, you know, Abby, are you concerned about an overreaction from the cops?
Holy shit.
You all right?
It was until I saw that.
Are the people ready to make opening arguments?
At the defense table.
Abby Hoffman, Jerry Rubin, Dave Dellinger, Rennie Davis, Lee Weiner, John Freund, Tom Hayden, and Bobby Seale.
These defendants had a plan, and the plan was to incite a riot.
I call this portion of the trial with friends like these.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kel Smith. Joining me today is Andy Comer from Real Film Chatter back from Real Film Chatter.
Hashtag Alien 3.
Jason X is Mike's favorite movie still.
Yeah, he still gets angry about us bringing that up.
I'll hashtag that when this episode comes up. I'll hashtag and then include him.
I doubt that he'll even acknowledge it.
He might.
I'll definitely point out to the other two and they'll love it.
Okay, cool. And then we have David Weiser from Film Assessment.
Hey, everybody.
Okay. And this week, we are going to be talking about the trial of Chicago 7, the movie that has been in development since I think I was 13 years old. And it finally has come out. This was going to be a movie directed by Steven Spielberg, Paul Greengrass, and Ben Stiller. Did I miss any names, anyone?
I honestly had no idea that this movie had been in production that long or any of those names were attached to it.
I've been hearing about this since, I think, 2007. And now that it's out and about, David, what are your thoughts on the trial of Chicago 7, starting with you?
In general?
Oh, yeah, in general.
Strong cast. I mean, Sorkin, great writer as always. His direction, I mean, kind of left something to be desired, but all around movie.
So, all right. Andy, what about you?
I really enjoyed it. I agree with the with his assessment, basically, that, you know, the cast is all, like, really great. Like, you know, for the most part, they're all recognizable faces. And they all are, you know, cast very well for the characters that they end up playing. Sorkin is one of the best writers in Hollywood. So it obviously is going to be, you know, great dialogue back and forth and quick and snappy and all that kind of stuff. And I also, too, agree. Like, I didn't think about it until he mentioned it, like, that the direction had something to be desired. It did feel like it was like, you know, like a half a step up from like a TV movie, maybe even just like upper end TV type movies, with its feel and all that stuff. But it didn't take too much away from it, I don't think.
So for me, I agree with everyone's assessment. We'll kind of get into the more deeper mechanics. We will do a spoiler portion of this later on in the show, viewers, but for now, we're just going to kind of talk about the basics. But anyway, I agree with everyone. This is Zorkin's second movie in a row, and I know, you know, we shouldn't be like, you know, oh, it's the second movie in a row. Golly, can he not be Spielberg or Fincher? But I feel like it's not necessarily like the direction had let a lot to be desired. It's more of, I don't think Aaron Sorkin, or actually any of the names I mentioned earlier, were good choices for this project, if I may be honest, because this is a this is a deeply political movie in a very deep, in our very deeply political time. And not to get super, super political, but you kind of need someone who will look at the trial of Chicago 7 as what it kind of is, and that it was basically a failure of our justice system. It's a failure of our justice system for our citizens, the people who are trying to protest. And I think Aaron Sorkin's trying too hard to make it light and sort of, you know, bring that ending triumphantly. And that's where I am kind of hung up on, but there are still incredible moments and the cast is incredible. Eddie Redmayne is fantastic in the movie. And so is Sacha Baron Cohen as Abbie Kaufman. Everyone's great in it, and everyone works very well with Sorkin's dialogue. But yeah, I think the direction had left a lot to be desired. What else can we rip Aaron Sorkin of or praise?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about his direction is something to be desired.
The way it was told in terms.
Go ahead, David. Go ahead.
One thing I really liked was the chronology of it, where it told the flashing back to the actual events. Because I think the reveal Eddie Redmayne's character happening was a great reveal. So I think touches like that were nice in terms of how the story was told. Like, that's a nice flourish.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Absolutely.
I did like that too. One thing I wish that they would have done differently, though, especially you saying that it took so long for the movie to get made. I really liked all the characters so much, and I feel like they should have gone deeper into all of the issues that happened during the trial. Obviously, being a film, like, he's limited in time. So, like, they would have done, like, a limited series. I think that it would have fleshed out a lot of all the entire thing way better. We would have gotten every character more, and it just would have been, you know, a more cathartic experience. And I felt like that, like, I wanted more of it, you know, to dive deeper, like, all that kind of stuff. But then, obviously, I'm like, it's still a good movie. But then this past weekend, I saw The Queen's Gambit, and it just made me want to have even more like that, because, like, they dove so deep into that story that it just made me, like, realize, like, how much we were actually missing, because obviously being such an important thing and coming out now makes the most sense because of everything going on. So, like, just thoroughly going through the entire story of what happened would have been very beneficial for some people, I think, to realize what's actually going on and what happened back then and the things that are coming back.
Absolutely. I think, you know, this is the perfect time for this kind of movie, because we can look at history through the context, because we can look through the history through the context of entertainment and see what was going on, what were the moods then, and then come to realize we're still fighting the same battles, and B, you know, and B, the battles, you know, they eventually, you know, there's cause to them. And I mean, they're more essentially, you know, it's worth seeing the same battles again. David, I do like the chronology of it. I do like that, you know, we open the movie with essentially everyone just kind of almost intercutting with each other, you know, almost like, you know, finishing at each other's sentences, but they're in different time. They're in different, like, you know, locations, and they're all heading towards Chicago for, you know, to basically protest this Democratic convention. And then we get the trial, and then we find out everything. And then Tom Hayden's reveal is very much satisfying. But in the end, you kind of just come away from the reveal like, well, yeah, obviously this is what it is. It's more of a character realization, you know, what he's realizing in that moment, you know, for him that, you know, him and Abbie Kaufman are on the same team, and they've been at each other so much. And even Kaufman realizes that they've been fighting the same battle. They've been just doing it differently. And in one moment, their methods just all intersected.
Absolutely. The opening is edited with such precision that it just is a perfect build to, like, get you ready for the story that's about to follow.
Yes. Absolutely. And then, so who was the big standout in this cast for you guys?
For me, Sacha Baron Cohen is without a doubt, like, deserving of, like, because, like, especially with, like, the shortened stack of possible nominees, I think he's the most worthy in this cast, even though multiple I could see happening, you know, at least getting nominated. And then Jeremy Strong, because if you watch Succession, he is a completely different person in this, and it really shows both of those characters' ranges. But everybody's good in this movie. Definitely no weak performances that stand out, but those two, I think, are the standout for being surprised, like really, really good.
David?
I feel like I'm in the minority where there wasn't, like, one particular standout for me where I walked away saying, great, like, and what may end up happening is I saw that are gonna, for supporting actor, is that they might split the vote. So I don't know who would end up getting in, maybe like Mark Rylance or something. I really liked
They all should.
I really liked Michael Keaton when
I agree.
He showed up. Like, that was great.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think, well,
Michael One more thing about Sacha Baron Cohen. Just a random observation is that every time he spoke with his accent, he reminded me of King Candy from Wreck-It Ralph. Like, just like the way he spoke. I don't know, just a weird thing.
I could see that in some things, thinking about it in my mind, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, all right. And for me, the other standout, of course, is, and I'm going to butcher this, and I'm so sorry, Yahya Abdul Mateen, as Bobby Seale, I thought he was very good. And I thought he really stood out, and I think he deserves his own kind of nomination, because in the script, I don't know if anyone agrees with this, but it almost feels like his character is written, even though it's written with so much pathos, there is also an underlining gag that's cutting almost all of it, where, you know, it becomes this almost a running gag of this character, Bobby Seale, not getting representation. He's here, and it feels like it's played like a gag, but Bobby Seale, but or not Bobby Seale, Mateen. But Mateen, it plays it like, you know, with so much pathos and tragedy and so much frustration that, you know, it undercuts the gag perfectly. That's, again, one of my weakest problems with the movie is his character is kind of played like a gag unintentionally. like Mateen kind of brings it back to like the pathos of that character for me.
Yeah, he's definitely really good at really good in it. But like, I feel like all the characters, you know, they're all like, there's no one lead; they're all supporting and stuff like that. So they all have their moments. Yeah.
And then you know, so and yes, so and then, does anyone want to get into spoilers, or is there more to talk about in this movie?
Like we've said, everybody's great in their roles. Like, one thing that did surprise me is Frank Langella is the judge. I felt like literally every time that he spoke, I felt physically like angry at that character in a way that doesn't happen very often because of how just like blindly he just says and does what he wants without realizing that he is doing so much like wrong. And every word that comes out of his mouth is just wrong, and he just plays it so effortlessly, it seems. I feel like he was, that was surprising to see that performance as well, because I didn't think that, I haven't seen him in anything in a long time, so that surprised me.
David?
I don't know that I have anything else if we want to move to spoilers. I don't really know.
All right. So going into spoilers, what are some of the highlights that y'all want to talk about? Oh. Hello?
David? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I don't know that I really, I'm trying to think. Spoiler wise, what there is really to like, I guess like one big scene involved ends up getting like forcibly gagged. Like, I think that moment is like,
can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, I said I think that moment's gonna stick with him for a while.
Oh yeah, for sure. I didn't watch a trailer for this before the movie came out, because I didn't the trailer drop like a week or two before it was even planned on coming out.
Yes, there's one a week or two before it hit theaters last month.
Yeah. So I didn't even watch the trailer, so I didn't know all the characters that were in it besides like photos and stuff like that. So like seeing Michael Keaton show up was a real surprise, and I liked the turn on that because they went in all worried about it and stuff. But I feel like this whole story, obviously besides being perfect timing politically for what's all happening, like it just resonates like so well into you know, going against expectation, because like obviously I don't think a lot of people even know about what happened with this and why it happened, like all these characters that it happened to. I feel like even like a lot of people won't even know that this was even a thing that happened in the, you know, back in the 60s. And it just the turns that go back that happen in the courtroom are all just executed to such a high precision because of the script, that it just is something that needs to be seen and understood so that we can move on and progress even today.
Trying to think of what I can even add. I feel like we've kind of covered a lot of the things I would think to talk about.
Well, okay. And I will, for me, what I will say is there's about three scenes that I wanted to talk about. And that is, you know, the scene where we find out that Fred Hamilton from the Black Panther died in And then Mark Rylance's character tells Bobby Seale in prison, and then Bobby Seale just already knows. And then you see Tom Hayden's character already in there, and in the corner, just kind of like ashamed. And then Bobby Seale's character goes into this whole monologue of, you know, you're trying to, you know, get at your daddy. You're trying to live. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. You're living in spite of your father, and Eddie Redmayne's like, yeah. And then Bobby Seale's like, well, that's different from, you know, fighting to not be lynched. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of the context of it. And I really just sat, to me, I feel like that is really the power of the weight of the trial, is that these are, you know, most of these guys, they're fighting to basically have their rights. And then, you know, you have Bobby Seale here who is fighting to just live. And I just found that kind of very compelling and interesting. And then there's a couple other scenes. The scene, you know, where, you know, going back to Frank Langella, where they discover that one of the jurors has been compromised. And you're all right. Frank Langella is great in this, but he's so good in it because he's just good in it because he brings this grandfather quality to it. And it's so evil, but it's good. Go ahead. And then, of course, I have my own problems with the ending, but that's beside the point. I do think the reveal and then everything leading up to that bar where Abbie Kaufman describes it, it's the 50s in there and then the 60s are out here. I thought that was fantastic.
What part of the end, or what did you have problems with at the end?
I think it's just the very end where the movie, like, it cuts to months later and they've already been convicted, and or the jury has already made they've announced that they're guilty, and then they're at the sentencing, and then they start just reading the names, and it's just played as such a triumphant moment. And to me,
it's played out as a triumphant moment because of, like, the build up for it, because every scene that character's been in is all about writing these names, and now they're saying them and everything. I totally agree that I don't think it earned that the way that it, like, spilled off, because obviously they didn't win, and it didn't, like, it took them, or it, they won in the way that they got all the names put into the trial, like, record and all that kind of stuff.
Court record, but yeah.
They lost their trial. And then you have to read text to figure out what happened with each character. This is, like, I feel like that is the biggest flaw of the story, for sure. Like, the way that it played out. But, like, at the same time, it's just over, like, 2 hours. At a feature length, like, it needs to wrap up at some point. Like, at that point, like, I know it's going on Netflix, but, like, you know, for theaters and stuff, they needed to wrap it up, and they could just easily just end on that kind of, you know, high note, I guess, even though it didn't reach as high as it should have. That's where I believe that, like, a limited series would have definitely helped flesh out. Like, there would have been a whole nother episode or two after the point of them reading names, like, you know, wrapping everything up and all that kind of stuff. So I really feel like that would have improved fleshing out the entire story.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I think for me, it's just, it's also hard cut from Abbie Kaufman's being on the stand from, you know, I've never been, you know, put on trial for my thoughts, which is another just, like, great line. But then we cut to, you know, the very end. And yeah, well, it's not just necessarily that it's not earned, but it's also, you know, not to add too much content, not to add too much weight to this trial, but this trial, the way it's kind of played in the movie is it's a failure of justice. It's a failure of our institutions. Something that's been happening already a lot of in our country, and to kind of in and try and find some upbeat way around it, I feel like undercuts the tragedy of the flawness of it all.
Yeah, but I think that Abby's point on the on the stand. And when he says that he loves the system, it just has a lot of bad people in it, is the best line of the entire movie, because that's something I truly feel. Like, with everybody talking about the way things are going now, the system is not perfect by any means. Like, the Constitution is not perfect, but it is set up to improve based on what based on what we need when we need it. And the system only fails when the people in the system fails. So I think that that's a great point that they brought up, and it's something that definitely needs to be more vocalized. And I think that that was the best moment for it, like that whole thing. But yes, I agree that the whole point where whenever they brought somebody on the stand, they were on there for an awkward amount of time, except for the Friends Like These segment. I feel like that was edited pretty well, like the beginning half, but all the other people on the stand, I felt like nobody was on the stand long enough.
Yeah, I did like all the undercover people they had on the stand, just being like, yeah, we were this guy and this guy, and then Jeremy Strong's character just kind of goes, so did we just lead like half of the Chicago Police Department to their own protests, to the protests of their own department, or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just, you know, I mean, Aaron Sorkin brings the comedy and, or not comedy, but brings the comic relief. But he, you know, it's, but sometimes it's not necessary in this movie. Not necessarily saying I need a downer movie, but sometimes it's just just a little too much.
Yeah, but it is a serious topic and a serious event that happened. So, like, it needs to take those moments seriously.
Absolutely.
Which I think it does. But, like, I just feel like it should have fleshed them out even more to, like, give them room to breathe. And, earn the audience to care for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I do, you know, and also I think it's interesting because when we keep going back in time, you know, it's much more interesting, even though it's not shot perfectly, like every time we cut to the cops taking their badges off, which is in this time period. It's so perfect for that bit, but it's so shot like a TV movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of the stuff that is shot like a TV movie. And like, yeah, I agree. I didn't see Molly's Game, so I don't know how his direction was in that. I honestly forgot that he directed, this was a second directed movie until you guys mentioned it and I looked it up. So I don't know how that one looked, but this one definitely, feels like, you know, a like upper end TV, like, you know, lower theatrical type of like quality. So I don't know.
Yeah. David, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, cool. So we were just talking about the ending, and then we were talking about Molly's Game. Did you see Molly's Game?
Yes.
What did you think of that? What did you think of Molly's game?
In terms of his direction.
I liked it. Similar to what we've already said in terms of, like, he's a much better writer than he is a director. But I thought it was, the direction was fine. I mean, it wasn't really anything too stylish.
For me, Andy, I think Molly's Game, it's a good movie. Like, it is, I will go to bat, like, it's a very well-written movie, and it gives Molly a bunch of agency. But the problem, and I think the problem with Aaron Sorkin directing, is it brings out all of the best and worst parts of Aaron Sorkin. Like, Aaron Sorkin is a very, very paternal, like, he has very paternal characters that come over to the characters that have messed up and tell them what's going on. And in Molly's Game, there's a scene where Kevin Costner comes to Molly and tells her basically what's wrong with her, even though the whole movie has basically been telling us what's wrong with Molly or what her inner conflict is.
Okay.
So that's the problem with Molly's Game. But it's still, like, it still works. Like, it's still, like, you can watch Molly's Game and not, like, you know, hate yourself and think it was a waste of time. Like, it's a fine movie. It's fun to imagine Michael Cera as Tobey Maguire.
That's weird.
It is very, very weird. Because in Molly's Game, Tobey Maguire is a person that was a part of, like, the illegal games, apparently.
Yeah, the only thing I know about that movie is that Jessica Chastain is in it.
Yeah. And she's good in it. She's very good in it. So with that, where does that leave us with the Trial of Chicago 7, guys?
It's a good movie. Where does that leave us with Trial of Chicago 7? It's a great cast. You know, it has something to be desired for direction wise, but the script is good. It's just my interpretation is that it's just limited by, you know, the format of being a movie instead of a expanded series. Like, if that could have been, like, you know, 3 episodes of an hour each, or, you know, four 1 hour episodes, I think it would have been perfect.
I pretty much agree with what Andy just said, and kind of second what I said in the beginning. It's all around a good movie with a very strong cast, very well written. Like we've said, direction leaves some to be desired, but it's a good movie and that's relevant and well worth the watch.
Yeah, very relevant for, especially, you know, just as a person in America, but especially with what's going on. But then also, you know, just it's important to know about it because it is an important part of our history.
I agree. It's an important part of our trial, and I would ask more people to look it up after seeing the movie and then, you know, and then just getting frustrated because these guys were just as frustrated as we are now in this time period. Now, in the face of everything we're dealing with.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. With that, thanks everyone for listening. Andy, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at The Talking Can, Letterboxd at The Talking Can.
And David?
You can find me on the assessment. Writing reviews and stuff, and then also on my personal Twitter, Wiser_David.
All right, everyone, we'll be back with you very soon with Borat's subsequent movie film. I think that'll be our next one. So we are definitely on the Sacha Baron Cohen train for at least one more week. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you next week.
They were chanting that the whole world is watching. If we leave here without saying anything about why we came in the first place, it'll be heartbreaking.
Well, last summer, why did you come to the convention?
To end the war.
We're giving them exactly what they want, a stage and an audience.
Yeah, you really think there's gonna be a big audience? Here I am!
This is what revolution looks like, real revolution.
We may have to hurt somebody's feelings.
Is this prosecution politically motivated?
I'm tired of hearing you.
It would be impossible for me to care any less what you are tired of. Here I am!
There will be order!
We have to find some courage now.
How much is it worth to you? What's your price?
To call off the revolution?
My life.
Open your eyes, cause a new day is dawning. The new day is dawning.